Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? It's a special edition. Patriot Nation Radio on the Patriot Nation Radio Network.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Be back right after this with Angelique.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. They pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA, right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray, USA.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling. 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden. End of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
Perfect. Rusty.
While the NRA defends the Second Amendment, the American brand fights the propaganda war. My name is Scott Kesterson, and I am president of the American brand. The American brand is a next-generation media, education outreach, and political action training organization designed for red state America. We are an organization built on the inalienable rights guaranteed in our Constitution, on the core values of hard work, on integrity, and on a deep commitment to faith and love for country. The left is working tirelessly to have you believe that red states and red counties are second-class citizens and should have no political power. Nothing could be further from the truth. The American brand has been built to strengthen the political voice of red state small towns and rural communities, to preserve American values, and to train and mobilize the next generation of red state small business and political leadership. It is a bold vision forged from the experiences of small business and military special operations. Visit our website at theamericanbrand.org. That's theamericanbrand.org to learn more. We need your support and your donations to make this work. Join us in the fight. Thank you. God bless, and God bless this great country.
There you have it, folks. Of course, it's been a crazy week. So I would implore everybody there on the live feed and listening on Blog Talk Radio to join me in a moment of silence and a quick prayer for those affected by this horrible tragedy in Las Vegas. Moment of silence, folks. Moment of silence. Here we go. Say a prayer for those affected in Vegas. Lord, please heal those who are suffering the loss of loved ones, suffering the wounds inflicted senselessly. Heal the wounds of this nation, Lord, and bless this nation. Bless this show tonight, folks. Lord, watch over us and keep us strong in this time as we need Jesus in this life right now more than ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I get to stop and rest on this hot and sandy trail, walking through this desert, occasionally I fail. In a fight of desperation on this road of life, know that there's only one true way to beat the strife. With rolling tears at times, I think I'll never make it through. Then I stop and realize to give it all to you. Raising up my shield of faith in front of me to fight. With your Holy Spirit, you guide me through the night. Now I call you Christ Messiah. I call you King of Kings. You have risen from the grave with the keys to set this sinner free. People see me in the vineyard, serving in your name. They notice how I've changed, my life is not the same. Often they will ask, of the change come over me. I tell them how Jesus sets this sinner free. And I call you Christ Messiah. And I call you King of Kings, for you have risen from the grave with the keys to set this sinner free. You've risen from the grave with the keys to set the sinner free.
May the Lord bless those who are affected by this horrible tragedy. Excuse me, I'm almost in a state of tears. As men and women in this country were senselessly slaughtered by a madman.
Yeah.
Who then allegedly turns the gun on himself and escapes real justice, but maybe he'll burn in hell. He will burn in hell. Hallelujah. A little shaken right now. Excuse me. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Angelique, representing Black Lives Matter of Greater New York. Welcome to the show, my friend. Sorry, I'm a little shaken right now.
I understand. It's a horrible tragedy. Hello, but thank you for having me on the show, Mark. How you doing?
Another tragedy that has happened in this life. It's happened to our guest tonight, and I know you've told this story before, and it's heart-wrenching, and especially in light of what's happened now, last 48, 72 hours. But it's kind of what led you to join Black Lives Matter. So why don't you tell us exactly what led you to join the Black Lives Matter movement?
Okay. On May 11, 2017, my husband, Andrew Kears, was denied medical attention when he said he couldn't breathe and he felt dizzy. It's the same thing like Eric Garner. Now, I'm going to tell you, my husband just came home from doing a two-year bid, and only lasted 15 days. He was stopped on a random traffic stop. Now, I don't know if it was a red light or if it was a stop sign or anything, because they're still not telling me that. But what I do know is my husband ran. Now, I don't know why he ran, but in this world we live in, is either you run or you have the potential of dying or not dying. So him as a black man, he ran. Now, when he did run and they call him behind a house. Now, there's a witness. Excuse me, every time I start telling the story, I start crying. I'm so sorry.
Understandable.
But there's a witness overhearing my husband. No, my husband is 6'2", 270 pounds, and the witness is stating that he is, "Ow, you're hurting me. You broke my leg," and screaming like a baby. Now, when they pull him from behind the house into the front of the house, there's three officers with him, and my husband is saying, "I can't breathe. I feel dizzy." Right then and there, they were supposed to call the ambulance. They didn't. They were his judge, his jury, and his executioner. Now, there's a witness also stating that one of the officers is saying, "Oh, but you was running before, and now you can't breathe," and thinking it was a joke. When they put him in the cop car, is from where he got apprehended into the police station is 15 minutes. Now, when you're in cardiac arrest, you only get 10 minutes of survival. So each minute that that they denied him was a sentence of death. When he did reach the precinct, there's a witness stating that there's two officers grabbing him and he's dangling, and they put him on the ground, on the floor like an animal, and she's calling him and he's unresponsive and his eyes are up in the air and she's calling him and he's not looking. So they take the witness into the station, and it's another 15 minutes that she hears them, and they say, "Oh, we need the hurt to the cardiac." They're getting the cardiac machine. They're walking. They're not rushing. They're not moving up. And then she hears the ambulance, and he was gone.
And so they shot him, and then they didn't get him treatment, and they left him to slowly pass away in the street with no help. Is that what I'm getting?
No, they didn't shoot him. He was unarmed. They didn't shoot him. They denied him the medical attention when he said, "I couldn't breathe and I felt dizzy." Like I said, we live in the Bronx. Where he was visiting a friend, he was in Schenectady, New York. So I have asked several officers in here in the Bronx, and I ask them, and I say, "What's the protocol of when somebody says they can't breathe and they feel dizzy?" So they tell me, "Oh, we are supposed to call the bus, which is the ambulance." Now, how is it that the Bronx protocol is different from Schenectady protocol? It's the same thing as New York. That's the same thing. Their job is to protect and serve. They didn't protect.
Right.
Nor did they. I'm left with. He was only 36 years old. He had 9 children, 3 stepchildren, and 5 grandbabies. We all lost it without him, broken and wondering why. And we still don't have no answers. These officers are still working. They're still on the job. How is that? You know,
and you get no answers whatsoever.
I have the attorney general looking into the case, and all they keep telling me is an ongoing investigation. You know, they got body surveillance and a video surveillance that they could give me and show me, but they haven't showed me because it's an ongoing investigation. What is messed up is I don't have a face to put who's the officers. I gotta explain to my children, you know, when they're asking me, "Mommy, did the cops go to jail?" You know, like, to tell our twin sons, "No, baby, I don't know. They're still out." How is that? You know what I'm saying? How you explain to twins that are 7, a son that's 4, and a baby that's 2, that their dad is gone? You know what's that? That's the most terrifying thing to tell a child, that your father's gone and they still don't understand?
Yes, that's ridiculous. Now you're feeling pretty angry about it, and I guess you're looking for someone who would support your cause, and you found Black Lives Matter of Greater New York. Is that how it happened?
Yes, because at first I was putting it on Facebook. Before this, I was Facebook famous. I used to say, like, tell jokes and stuff like that and stuff. So I had a friend on my Facebook, which is Ari the Voice, and he is involved with Black Lives Matter. And he saw that I was putting Justice for Andrew Keir and putting it out there. And then he tagged Hawk, and then Hawk called me. And then that same day he came to my house to, you know, to hear the story. When I first met Hawk, It was like a kindred spirit. Like, he wasn't meant for fame or fortune or anything like that. And Hawk was like, I say, like 6'8". So when I first met him, I said, "Can I just hug you?" Because he reminded me so much of my husband. And he hugged me, and I was like, "Oh my God," joking around. And I was like, "Oh my God, like, Andrew would have got along with you." I said, "You know, you left for my person." And that's how I got involved with Black Lives Matter. So, like, I'm trying to seek justice for Andrew, but at the end of the day, it makes me stronger to one tragedy into a positive, because now I'm an activist to prevent another family to go through what I'm going through, what we're going through.
All right. Excuse me. As Black Lives Matter was progressing, some factors are peaceful. Folks, there's good and bad in everything. But some factors of Black Lives Matter have acted violently and are calling for violence. Do you guys at Black Lives Matter Greater New York denounce the violence of other sects of Black Lives Matter?
Yes, we don't agree with that. Things happen like that. That's in the past. But Black Lives Matter Greater New York is, We're willing to have peace. We did the Moore rally. We thought it was gonna be something ugly like a Charlottesville, and it ended up being something different and totally different. I think we did a historical event. You know what I'm saying? To change people's mind about about us as well as we, our views on you guys changed as well.
Right.
So it was a good, it was a one negative into a positive.
Right. Folks, this dialogue was started by Deborah Cochran and Slider Joe Gillis at Spread the Word. And I listened to that show because we're affiliated. And I was riveted. I couldn't take my ears off the radio. And it's important to bridge the divide that we have because, folks, our fight is the same. It's just on different planes, different direction. And what we really want is equal justice under the law for our loved ones. And there was a case that was brought up on that show in reference to Lavoy Finicum, who was murdered in a snowbank by the FBI and Oregon State Police. And there's another case that's in the news that was pretty important, too, that shows that there's unequal justice on both sides. It is the story of Christian Saucier. He was a Navy sailor of 11 years, and he spent his time, in the Navy, a proud sailor. And he had taken some photographs down in an engine room to bring home and say, look, this is where I work. It's pretty cool. Check it out. And he wound up doing a year in prison for six photographs. The photographs, they were in an engine room, and the charges he received were mishandling classified information. And he just got out September 6th. Hillary Clinton was charged with 150 counts of mishandling classified information. And she ran for president with no jail time and no possibility of jail time. She is free while this young man did a full year in jail. He got out September 6th. And I brought him on to tell his story. His name is Chris. Chris, welcome to the show. Say hello to Angelique.
Hi, Angelique. I first let me say I'm so sorry to hear about what happened to you and your family and your husband. I can't imagine how difficult that must have been, but I'm glad that you're taking a stand and that you're standing up and fighting for, what should be something that's just normal in our country, but unfortunately it's not. You know, we have to fight for our rights. And unfortunately for a lot of us, the justice system is used as a tool to punish us, and it's supposed to be there to protect us. And that, I think that's kind of what happened in the case of your husband, and it's very unfortunate because, you lost a husband and a father for your children, and it should have never happened. So I'm very sorry for that.
Thank you, and I'm so sorry what you have to go through over pictures. That is just, God, I know how frustrated and angry you must be, for just some pictures. That's so wrong.
Yeah.
The justice.
And he didn't deny it. He faced the music and took it like a man and said, yes, I made a mistake. And took some pictures.
Yeah. I think the bigger problem here is, and it's very clear in all these cases, is, for instance, the federal legal code has over 4,000 pages, right? So they basically write these laws, so there's no way that you can follow them. Everybody going around, walking around, is breaking these rules. And it's just a matter of whether or not you get chosen to be, or you're chosen to be punished, And, they can't argue that 4,000 pages of legal code is designed to keep us as Americans safe. It's designed so that if the police want to come after you, the federal government or anybody, they can prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law and lock you away. And that's unfortunately what, leads to the situations like, what your husband was put into, which was wrong, where he felt like one of his options was to run. You should never, that's unfortunately the mindset that we as Americans, not just minorities, but everybody have in this country right now, where, the police are, shooting people and getting away with it and doing things like that. And it's leading people to think that when they see a police car, they don't think, okay, I feel safer now because the police are here. They think, man, I'm going to go to prison or I'm going to get in trouble. And that's not the way we should look at it as Americans. We live in the greatest country in the world.
You know what they call that?
Yeah.
Call that tyranny. We live in tyranny. Not black Americans, not white Americans. All Americans are under tyranny and a police state. We are not free. We have this flag. Yeah. I don't know if you see the live feed. I got a flag behind me. It's a symbol of freedom, but are we really free as Americans? I don't think so. The 13th yeah. Amendment to the Constitution freed the African slaves. The 14th Amendment enslaved us all. Simple as that. Yeah. If you don't know,
I can tell you. I served time in prison with guys that were there that didn't deserve to be there. You know, I can say, you know, myself that I didn't deserve to be there, but I can say honestly that I was there with guys that weren't bad guys, that them being locked in a cage wasn't what was best for society. It was simply that, you know, what they do is they keep people in prison because it's a money-making endeavor, and unfortunately, yeah. minorities suffer the most from that. You know, I was in prison with a lot of guys, you know, that were black and Hispanic, and they got way overcharged for what they did. And, you know, and they were punished to the fullest extent of the law, where, you know, whereas somebody else might have gotten away with it. And that's not the way the justice system is supposed to work in this country. And right. it's just a travesty.
And think about how many people.
I agree with that.
Think how many people are on lockdown for having like a roach in the ashtray during rush hour and they had a fender bender. Now they're in
yeah.
prison, you know.
Because I can tell you, you know, you think about the banks that defrauded the American people, you know, and the big government bailing them out. Wells Fargo, for instance, you know, one of these things. There's that millions of people were, you know, lost money because of this. I was in prison with guys that were there for tax evasion, and not like large amounts of tax evasion. I'm talking, you know, $100,000, $200,000 that they owed to the government, and for whatever reason they didn't pay it on time, and they got imprisoned for 2 years. Well, how does that help anybody? How does that help the taxpayer that person's supposed to be paying their due part to if they're stuck in prison? You know, it's not about making right, and it's not about justice. It's simply about people being locked up. And I think that's a mindset that everybody in this country needs to work towards changing, you know, and Black Lives Matter, I think, has a valid argument. And I think there's lots of other groups out there that have very valid arguments as to how we can try to move forward as a country. But we need to all work together. You know, one of the big problems is that these large groups, the government, you know, the 1%, the wealthy and the elites that get away with murder, essentially, they want us all to be fighting amongst each other and not to band together against them. Mm-hmm. You know, if we all are united and say we won't stand for this anymore, then we'll have a voice that they can't ignore.
Right. If we're all 1/4 and we're standing there arm in arm saying we ain't taking this crap from you no more. This is our country. You work for us. Right now, we're fighting each other because the media is twisting everything. The media is the biggest enemy in this whole country. Because listen to Angelique. She's not a radical, violent person like the media makes Black Lives Matter out to be. Of course, there are violent folks in Black Lives Matter. 5 officers lost their lives in Dallas. But you heard Angelique here denounce the violence. They're not all violent people. They have a message. We matter. We're here.
Yeah, we do.
All life matters too, but all lives matter. And Angelique agrees with that statement, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely argue that.
I agree. I would agree with that.
If you look at the history of civil rights movements and everything like that, quite commonly, you know, back when, you know, Martin Luther King was leading the rallies in Selma, you know, the media and the police, they manipulated it to say that they were violent and they were causing issues and everything like that to justify the force used against them. And in you know, history shows that was wrong. You know, the people were trying to that were at those rallies that were fighting for equal rights for everybody were, you know, trying to exercise their rights as American citizens and to get their voice heard. And you know, the government didn't want them to have the voice. And so what did they do? They, you know, they attacked them and on all fronts, you know, whether they arrested them or they, you know, made them out to be these horrible people in the media. That's what they did. And that's exactly what they're doing now, because they don't want us to unite. They don't want us to all say, look, we're American. We deserve this. This is our constitutional right as Americans, is to feel safe and to be in a country where we don't have to look over our backs when we see a cruiser pulling up behind us and think, am I going to walk away from this alive? And that's unfortunately
that's
the way
that's very sad.
Yeah.
That's
very sad. And my scare also, I don't mean to cut you off, but my scare is I got five boys, okay? I got five boys. So me to think I gotta watch it like that it doesn't happen again to my children. For our sons to grow up to not even trust police because they killed their father. They killed their stepfather. Like how they're supposed to go to them to protect and serve them when they didn't even protect their father or their stepfather.
Folks don't understand really, Angelique, until they come from a neighborhood like the Bronx where you're from. I grew up out on Long Island in a town called Bayshore in the 80s. It was kind of rough. You either smoked crack or you were an alcoholic. I chose alcohol. We ran the streets. It was dangerous. We got guns pulled on us. We got knives. And the cops didn't just harass black people. They harassed everybody. And we were nervous at every corner because, when you're out in the streets and you're in the rough neighborhoods and you're poor, you're doing what you can to feed your families. And you're doing what you can to survive, because in the rough neighborhood, you don't live. You survive. There's a difference.
Yeah.
And you do what you can. Sometimes you have to hustle. Sometimes you have to do things that aren't the best, because it's the hood, and it's rough, and it's poor, and there's no work, and it's tough. And if you haven't lived that life before, you can't understand it. And it's really rough. And so people say, well, why don't you just pack up and leave? What, leave mom and grandma in the hood? I can't leave mom and grandma in the hood. Take my five kids to the suburbs. I got to stay here and look after mom and grandma and Aunt Tilly.
I think one of the major things, too, that's very upsetting that everybody sees, whether you're white or black or anything, is we all watch the news and we see things like this Anthony Weiner, this guy who's a pedophile, who's a horrible human being, who doesn't deserve to walk amongst the rest of us. And he gets 21 months in prison for being a repeat offender, right? That's the kind of treatment that these kind of people that are high up in the elites get. They hook each other up. And the rest of us, my God, if one of us committed one-tenth of what
he did. If that
were to
happen, you get 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. And it's shameful. Mm-hmm. It's shameful. And but that's what we all have to see. We all see that on the news. And how can anybody watch that who's been to prison or has a family member that's in prison doing hard time for lesser offenses? How can anybody look at that and say, it's just the way it is? No, it's not the way it is. Because over and over again, we all see this. And we all say, it's just the way it is. They get to do what they want to do. No, they're American citizens just like us, and we have the same rights. Just because they're rich and they come from a nice neighborhood that, we don't live in, doesn't mean that they get to do whatever they want, and then when they finally get caught five times, they get sent to prison for a short little stint. No. And that's upsetting for everybody. And I think Black Lives Matter has a very valid point.
You got to also think that the justice system, the justice system is always, especially with the poor, okay, they want to just keep giving you pleas. You know what I'm saying? Like, take this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was going to bring
the person, even if they're innocent and they're threatening the person with, 10 years, 20 years, you're going to cut that plea even if you didn't do it because you want to get away. Yep. You want to go home, and you want the lesser charge. Look at what happened to Khalif Brown. You were saying he was in solitary, and he was innocent. He was in solitary for 3 years, and he was innocent, and he ended up coming home and hanging himself. They don't think that they're torturing people in jail. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I understand you do the crime, do the time, but you guys have rights as well, too. And just because you locked up doesn't mean that you don't have no rights. Look at the food they give the inmates. Look at the violence and the stuff they go through in jail. It's not fair. You don't it really isn't.
It's jail.
No, I mean, I went without. I was in a prison where, in the wintertime, our heat would go out. We wouldn't have hot water. And you know, when I first checked into, you know, when I first got transferred to the prison, they put me in solitary confinement for my first week there for no reason other than they just didn't want to process me. So I sat in solitary confinement for a week. You know, some guys sit in there for months and they end up killing themselves because they don't care. They don't, you know, people are screaming their heads off that they're going to kill themselves and they just ignore you. That's just the problem with our prison system in this country. Is it's way overpopulated, not because we have more people committing crimes in this country than other countries, because they lock so many people up for no reason.
Exactly, and they just cop a piece just to get.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know lots of people that they didn't even commit the crime that they pled guilty to, but they pled guilty to it because you're exactly right. They got arrested, they got put in jail without bail, and so they've been in prison for almost a year, let's say, waiting for the trial, and the prosecutor came to them and said, look, if you plead guilty, we'll give you time served and you'll get out. So now this person pleads guilty to something they didn't do just so they can get out of prison because they can't stand being there anymore, and now they're a felon, and their life is ruined.
And now they can't even get a job. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't even be like that. And then that's one less vote, you know, we don't have a crummy president. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's wrong. It's wrong on every aspect.
In the Constitution, it says, basically, when you do your time and you pay your debt to society, the rights within the Constitution are restored. And I guess that's what makes me a libertarian, because I really feel that.
I served 11 years, and I served 11 years in the military. You know, I fought for freedom. I did two tours in the Middle East.
God bless you.
I spent 5 years on a fast attack submarine, and you know, I have service related injuries and everything like that. And now I can't even vote. I can't own a gun. You know, I can't go hunting. I can't do all the things that I fought for everybody else in this country to be able to do, because I'm a felon. Right. You know, and it's upsetting, and that's part of the way that they control us as you know, people that are not members of the elite, is they slowly strip away our rights to own guns, our rights to vote, our rights to speak out, and before you know it, we live in a place that's just like Soviet Russia, where, you know, you're afraid to say what's happening to you is wrong, you know, because, if you don't agree with it, we'll just punish you more, and that's what's happening. On a very large scale in this country, and people need to wake up, and they need to see that it's all of us. We're all in this together. You know, everybody's got their little argument. Well, you know, we're more important than these. No, everybody, we're all in it together. You know, it's us against them. It's the 1% of America that's putting their thumb down on all of us. They're locking us all up. You know, there's a lot of guys in prison that are black and Hispanic, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of white guys there too, because they don't care. Yeah. It's not about, you know, the color of your skin. Unfortunately, some of the police departments, the way they arrest people, they profile people, and they arrest people based off of that. But I can tell you right now, on the federal system, they don't care. If you're poor, by all means, lock you up, because you can't provide a legal defense for yourself, so you're going to take a plea deal. It's just a guaranteed for them. You know, they got the limitless resources of the federal government to come after you. What do you got? You know, a public defender that's overwhelmed? No. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's wrong that they do this. And I really hope that, you know, people can get together and say, look, enough's enough.
Look, this is important that we're having a dialogue with a member from the Black Lives Matter of Greater New York, and realizing more and more that our fight is the same and it has nothing to do with race, and that we could come together. It's just that we got to stop fighting each other. That's the main thing. To have these people show up on each side of the street and fight each other is crazy when we're fighting for the same thing. And that's what we got to start opening up the eyes to, is that the folks, we are fighting for the same thing. Let's not fight each other. Let's join each other. Stop burning down cities and fighting each other in the streets. Stop breaking windows and fighting each other in the avenues. We got to join forces. And that's the last thing that they want. They want us divided. We can't even agree on the same football team. We are divided on, is it sunny out? Is it mostly sunny or partly cloudy? We are divided on everything. They got us. But if we come together as a nation, and then we go to Washington, all races, all religions together, we wouldn't have only 3,000 people show up. We'd have 350,000 people show up. And then they'd have to listen.
Probably millions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're fighting each other because the media twists everything. Folks don't trust the media. Turn off the media. Seek alternatives.
Well, that's the problem when you have a media that's they're all owned by the same people, who, by the way, are all wealthy people, right, that own the media, mm-hmm. and make sure that they hook up their cronies that are the wealthy elite. And whatever message they want to put out is the message they want to put out. And if they don't want to, if they want to villainize a group that's trying to make a difference, like Black Lives Matter, they'll do that. And that's and they've proven that that's what they'll do. And they'll make sure that they don't look at the important arguments that groups like Black Lives Matter are making. And they'll just focus on, oh, this one guy went out and got in a fight at the rally. Okay, so you have millions of people around the country peacefully rallying for rights. And one guy gets in an argument, and then they focus on that. They don't focus on all the good that they're creating. Because that's what they
remember,
want.
Down in in Charlottesville, I can't believe for one second that these guys with the Nazi flags in the crowd were Nazis. They were actors. They were sent in there to burn bridges.
No,
those guys
that's wrong.
In there.
No, that's wrong, because my Black Lives Matter Greater New York, they were there. And one of the Nazis, her name is Nepal, she's 17 years old. They hit her 2 inches away from her back. Her rib would have got messed up. Okay, she has to wear a vice around around her waist and stuff like that, because she has injuries from Charlottesville. She's only 17 years old, and this is a man that was like 30, 40 years old hitting a woman, a child. You know, it's wrong. It was that wasn't no actors. It was horrible. They had guns. They had sticks and swords and shields. Anywhere else, you know, and then the police is okay with that? Like how one of my members got maced in the face like 3 times, pepper spray. Like it was horrible. You could say the media is not reporting this, but you also have you have civilians recording it on their phone. You know what I'm saying? So you see what's really happening. You know, so if you don't want to go with fake news with media, you got to go with the people that's recording certain things that's happening.
Yeah. Like what you're seeing now coming out of Vegas, and the police are trying to say mm-hmm. one thing, and then you see the muzzle flashes on the fourth floor, and then they're like, "Oh, whatever, it was a strobe light." So I watched and mm-hmm. I looked at the videos of the supposed strobe light. It was like on the 12th floor and like 100 feet to the left. There was no way the mm-hmm. strobe light and the muzzle flash on the fourth floor were the same thing. They're lying.
Yeah.
And then somebody
yeah, they're
sent
saying
me a video.
There was multiple shooters.
Yeah, mm-hmm. somebody sent me a video, yeah. man. You can clearly see a guy walk up and point blank shooting into the crowd on the ground. I have to get that video. If I find it, I'll send it to you. You won't believe your eyes. There's
yeah.
a guy with a gun, and you can hear it. Da, 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 just for a second. You can only hear it for a second, and the video ends. It could be bull crap. It may be bull crap. Who knows? You can't trust anything on the internet.
I think what's important to know, too, is you know, history repeats itself, right? You know, when you look at any tyrannous government, the first thing that they do is they control the media, right? You look at Nazi Germany, you look at North Korea, you look at mm-hmm. these countries that you say, how does everybody in their country not rise up and say what they're doing is wrong? Well, it's, you know, not to say that they don't see what's happening is wrong, but they're told everywhere and everywhere they look that what's happening is okay and that it's what's supposed to be happening, and then they get fed this disinformation, which is what's happening in our country the propaganda system in our country
yeah.
has become so effective that we don't even realize it's happening. And so, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, these people are videotaping it on their phones and they're doing that.
Yeah.
But then you have these other groups that are funded by the elites and the people that want to get us fighting amongst each other, and they're filming fake news and they're putting it out
yeah.
there too. So it's very difficult to discern which is correct and which is wrong. And that's exactly
yeah.
what they want. They want us all to.
I was watching something. I forget what it was exactly. But there was a gentleman who was filming, and I was watching his live feed on one phone, and I was watching an Antifa live feed on another phone, and it was like the Antifa guy was following him. So I was saying on his live feed, like, there's a guy filming right next to you on the Antifa page, you know? And Black Lives Matter, Angelique, really needs to separate themselves from Antifa. Get away from them people. They are no good.
Yes, understand. I can't disagree or all agree on that. That's up to Hawk. That's he's the leader. So I'm not. I can't stop.
Maybe some of the ideals align, and maybe that's why maybe there's a little connection there. But I think you need to make the connection to the other side, because we're really truly fighting for all of America. We don't care what you look like or where you're from. We don't care. If you're American and you love freedom and liberty and the American way of life, and you want to pursue happiness, whichever way that may be, we're your team.
Okay.
And we are not what the media portrays, as you are not what the media portrays, and that is obvious.
Thank you. Okay, let me ask you something. What's your thoughts on Trump going to Puerto Rico? Do you agree what he did yesterday?
I didn't see what he actually did yesterday. I know that he was there in Puerto Rico. I did see a video of him with Geraldo Rivera. And so maybe you could fill me in on exactly what happened.
Well, he went to Puerto Rico. He went to basically where, like, the rich is at. And he's there throwing paper towels into the crowd. You know, like, a total disrespect on everything. He didn't stay there the whole visit. And he didn't even go to where he's needed. You know, he didn't see the devastation what we're going through. And then he wants to bring up the deficit and all this other stuff. Like, we nothing. We Americans. You know, like, we are a commonwealth. We are United States citizens, okay? And he's treating us like it's nothing. And it's unfair. It really is.
Yeah.
It's really unfair. And, like, he was supposed to go to deep in the barrios, the towns where there's no food.
Yeah.
Where there's no water. The FEMA is there in San Juan where there's lights and Wi-Fi and everything, and you're getting food, and they're supposed to be around the clock. You as a president are supposed to tell what FEMA is supposed to do, what guide them what they're doing, because over there in Puerto Rico, it's not like in the United States, like you have two roads. Okay, over there's one road. Okay, it's an in and out. So let's say there's a mudslide, or there's a rock that falls right on the path to go in and out. You're
That's
stuck.
It.
You can't go in. You can't go out. And then FEMA is only giving little things of food for a family of four.
FEMA is a joke.
Come on. You know,
I've seen it down here with Hurricane Irma in Florida. I've seen what's going on with these people. And they are not letting nothing get through that's being donated by the people without them claiming it. You have to give it to FEMA. And then they don't do the right thing with it. And then you got the mayor of San Juan. We don't have supplies. And she's standing in front of pallets and pallets of supplies. I mean,
no,
she's making a...
They're saying there's no truck drivers and stuff like that. But listen to this, okay? You, as a president, why you got a helicopter, right? Okay, you know what I'm saying? The military could, the same way they drop in Vietnam, they drop packages through helicopters. You could do that in the barrios. You know what I'm saying? You could do that. There's people dying. I have a 91-year-old uncle, second
My
uncle there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what's that, 21 years, and then that's the reason you die because of starvation or heat stroke or not with water? Like, come on. We're dying, and we're Americans.
I heard I think it was yesterday that 30% of the island now has electricity and 60% has water. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they're reporting. And today it's probably more than that.
If you look at my Facebook page, okay, I got people keep on tagging me and sending me things that these people are going into the barrios. People are eating lizards. They're making makeshift stuff to stick it into walls to get water. Because you know what? Us Puerto Ricans, we're survivors. You know what I'm saying? But come on, man. It's okay to have the military on our base. It's on our island, and that's okay. That's American for that. But us as Americans, you can't go in there to save us, to help us, to airlift us out. Like, let's really be real. And why is it? Why is it took 2 weeks for the president to go there? You know what I'm saying? And why is it took like a week in order for him to denounce the Jones Act? When it came to Texas and Florida, he acquitted that real quick. But for Puerto Rico, is no. And he also tweeted before saying that Puerto Ricans are the worst Mexicans with a New York accent. How you figure we don't even have a green card? How you come out of that? This weekend you're there playing golf and you dedicate a trophy to the victims of the hurricane, and that wasn't even your trophy. Like, let's really be like, it's horrible. He's a horrible president. I'm sorry, I don't like him. I think he's supposed to do more for us as Americans, as citizens. He's supposed to do a lot more instead of tweeting about bullshit, about the NFL or about, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
that's
bullshit.
All
I'm sorry.
He's doing a lot of stuff in the country. This is the first time in American history that a president in the first 6 months has trimmed $100 billion from the national debt. Bam. Mm-hmm.
I understand why you're upset, and I think what you really should be upset about is the fundamental marginalization of people in this country, right? Minorities, the poor, pretty much anybody who's not wealthy in this country gets marginalized. Whereas you look at the fact that he's got there's people in the cabinet right now that he just quit or fired that was taking private jets on the taxpayers' dime, while people in Puerto Rico, they said, well, we can't send it up, we don't have any more money to give you, right? So all of us are taxpayers. All of us are paying into this big government that's supposed to be there to help us out when something bad happens to us, like a hurricane. But then when something bad happens, they all of a sudden, all of our tax dollars, where are they going? They're going to fund somebody flying around on a private jet, you know, and that should be very upsetting to people, because that is a fundamental problem with the mindset of the people that are in charge in this country, that it's okay for them to act like that when people are dying and people are suffering. That's the big problem. I know you're upset with President Trump, but honestly, I think that between him and Hillary Clinton, who was, you know, a chronic liar and who obviously didn't care about the American people, I understand she might have been the first woman president, but she also doesn't. She's right up there with all these bad people, where they don't, you know, they're not about patriotism. They're not about America. They're not about helping minorities. Hillary Clinton, in the 90s, she referred to black men as super predators when they were, going after, you know, people saying, well, because black people watch rap videos, that they're more prone to commit violence. Well, that's not true. But that's not true. One of the policies that her and Bill Clinton had. And, people forget and they say, well, she was this big, but she wasn't, and she doesn't care about it. So the problem isn't Donald Trump. The problem is the mindset of the people in this country that are in the positions where they can make a difference and they can help out minorities and they can help out people that are suffering, and they choose not to because they're just so used to living the way that they live, and then the rest of us just are, you know, peons. We live in the ghetto, essentially, to them. So we're their people that they step on so that they can do what they want, and so be it. And there's two different statuses in this country of citizenship. You know, either you're one of them and you're wealthy, or you're not. And if you're not, well, you know, you don't get the golden club treatment, you know, where you get to go to the special roped off room. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. You know, maybe in other countries, maybe in countries like Venezuela or Korea or North Korea, where, you know, you have the haves and the have-nots. But in America, everybody's supposed to be treated equally. We all pay taxes the same, right? Whether you're poor or rich, we all pay taxes. So why don't we get equal treatment under the government? Why aren't we protected and when a casualty like a hurricane happens? Why aren't we protected by the federal government as far as the FBI and the police and everything like that? Why aren't they out there to help us? Why are they going after us? Right?
And
it's
why?
Population control. Because if they keep enough of us in prison, if they keep enough of us in debt and all these bad situations, then they have control over us. And that's what they want. And I think that's what we need to look at as a whole. And it's easy to say, well, this person's a bad president or that person's a bad president or I don't like the way this person's doing business. But when you look at overall what's going on in Washington, there's a lot of issues there, and they want you to focus and villainize one person because it takes the heat off of them because everybody's just saying, well, Donald Trump tweets a lot, but nobody's looking over here where, Tom Price is riding around on an airplane on the taxpayer's dollar. Well, that's where everybody should be looking. But, it's kind of like a magic show where they're like, look over here while we're doing something over here. We're stealing money from you.
Everything's an illusion. I believe anytime there's something going on behind the big NFL scandal. There's something that, right now they're not going to let a tragedy go to waste. And so now they're going to try to exploit the death of 58 people and a piece of crap murderer. And they're going to try to capitalize on it in one way or another. Someone's going to make money. And that's the part that really irks me, is that they're going to twist the tragedy. And anyhow, I got to wrap this show up. And I want to, I know Angelique that, I give everybody an opportunity, whether I agree with their organization or I do not, to give out websites, donation information, contact information if you want someone to join your group or meet up with you somehow and bridge a gap and bring unity to America. How can folks do that?
If they want to donate, you guys could also donate to Black Lives Matter Greater New York. If you want to contact, you could contact me, Angelique Negroni Kears, on Facebook, or Hawk Newsom. He's president of Black Lives Matter, Greater New York. Also, if you guys could also get my husband's story out, and his hashtag is Andrew Kears. His hashtag is Justice for Andrew Kears. And just help me seek justice for him and the answers that I'm looking for. Thank you.
Right. And I'm glad to hear that you're sticking up for what you feel is right. And bless your mission, and may your husband receive the justice he so deserves. Because as we can tell from the last show that you were on Spread the Word in this show, there is unequal justice all across the land. It just comes in different forms. And we're all affected, each and every one of us. There is no middle class. There is them and there's us. There's no poor people. It's them and there's us. We got to be one, take care of each other. We don't need the federal government. Before 1913, we had roads, we had schools, we had business, we had banks, we had farms, we had everything. And then the Federal Reserve came and bam, now everything's a mess. You can bet it's the bankers that have their hand in this whole mess. They're making the money, folks. Angelique,
I want to
thank you.
The rich gets rich and the poor gets poorer.
And that's no joke. I want to thank you, Angelique, for coming on the show tonight. And may the Lord bless everything you try to accomplish in your life.
Thank you. God bless you and yours.
Amen. And Christian, thank you again for coming on and sharing your story to help shed a light to more people that unequal justice is occurring to all Americans, not just black people, not just white people. All American. Thank you for sharing your story again.
Thank you for having me on. And Angelique, I hope you get some answers for your husband. I know it won't bring him back, but I hope you can get some resolution to this.
Amen.
Thank you. And it was a pleasure talking to you, and God bless you and yours as well.
God bless you too.
Stay strong. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Angelique Kears from Black Lives Matter, Greater New York. Not all those in Black Lives Matter are what you see on the media. Turn off the TV and seek the truth. It's there. Peaceful, hardworking, American people living their life. And like any organization or any group, there's bad apples. And you don't always pick the right side to join. Maybe they're hanging out with them Antifa guys. I don't know. Them guys are a little rough. These guys are crawling out of their mom's basement, some of them. And they've been playing, you know, Mortal Kombat or whatever the hell they play in their basement. And they think they're warriors, and it's dangerous. So hopefully they can separate from that and really think about what side they're fighting with. Because we're all fighting in the same thing. We're fighting for the same thing, for the same rights, right to have our civil rights recognized, to live free, to go to a baseball game and have a hot dog if we want and not have to worry. That if we go downtown and we see the police, we don't have to shake in our boots because we just happen to be there and that guy's got a quota to fill. I don't know. I don't want to be that guy. We got to wrap up this show again. Thank you, folks, for coming on. I'm going to play something here real fast in commemoration of those who lost their life in Vegas. And then, of course, we'll finish the old-fashioned way. But let's do this, ladies and gentlemen. Dave Bray. That's our good friend and guest of the past, Dave Bray. Check him out, DaveBrayUSA.com, folks. And we got some developments down on the border. It's getting kind of kooky down there. I'm going to bring in my friend Rusty. He's got a ranch down there all the way in the southern tip near Brownsville, other side of Matamoros, Mexico. Camp Lone Star, you might remember. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show real fast, giving us an update of what's really shaking on the border. Rusty Monsees of Camp Lone Star. What's happening, Rusty?
Okay, here's the deal. Had some people talk. It seems like past administration gave some gifts to the Mexican government. They, in turn, gave them to the groups down there, and they've got two fortified Indians, okay? Quote, Indians, all right? If you all have been in the service, you know what they are. And there's supposed to be several more.
What's the military capability of one of those helicopters? Hey, Deborah.
I beg your pardon?
What's the military capability of one of those helicopters?
Well, I tell you what, you could surely you could do a lot more than what took place here this last weekend. Capabilities, these are supposed to have fully equipped with all the automated equipment. That's the way they provided. My understanding that they have two. But at the same time, trying to dig around, the only thing I found out, there are as many as six that were provided to Mexico City. Beyond that, I have no clue.
And you think that the government is furnishing two of them, at least two of them, to the cartels? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, from what the man told me was the fact that they bought one and apparently they stole the other one. But either way, the problem is the fact that they have them. They have those. Now, what their intentions are, I don't know. I'm not gonna play a Houdini here or anything. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I have seen side view of one, a silhouette. But the only thing of it is, it was at a well over 500 yards, and I can't tell you for sure if it was one of ours that just wandered into Mexico, or if it was. If that was one of those, so I don't know.
Right.
But either way.
Hearing it here first, here on Patriot Nation Radio, folks, some of the cartels in Mexico area have battle-ready helicopters, two of them. Crazy. Gifted to Mexico City by Barack Obama, now in the hands of the cartel. Go figure. Fast and furious on steroids. It's freaking war-equipped helicopters. That's scary.
So, anyway, Mark, look, you've got other people to talk to. I appreciate your time. You all be safe. God bless. We'll catch you on the bounce. Be safe now. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Rusty. God bless. There you have it, folks. Rusty Monsees down on the border. You may remember Camp Lone Star. I think he's going to look for some folks to come down and set up camp maybe. Is that a case, Rusty?
I don't know at this stage with everything else going on. I know I can handle what I'm doing. I don't want any, and then this goes back to it, I don't want anybody to leave their family out in the open, out in the lurch. Okay? And
right.
Medically, you know, if something happens to me, big deal. I'm just one person. I'm playing like Spock. Anyway. But anyway, nothing. Y'all be safe. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rusty. All right, there you have it, folks. Again, that's some more developments down on the border in the Texas-Mexico Rio Grande area. Rusty's got his ranch down there in the Brownsville area, way south Texas, almost as far south as you can go, across from Matamoros. His property, I think he told us he has 21 acres, and part of the border goes into the Rio Grande. So they cross the river into his property. And out there, he finds a lot of crazy stuff, finding Korans, prayer rugs, dead people, everything in the desert, out in the property, out in the heat of the summer, and they're dying. A lot of people turn up dead. It's crazy. And you know what? They're trying to get to the greatest country in the world. And if they keep coming the way they are, they're going to destroy the greatest country in the world. And then where do they go? Sheesh, they just got to do it right. Okay, folks, it has come time for our famous favorite song, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to check out DaveBrayUSA.com, AmericanBrand.org, and others. You hear him on this show from time to time, Pastor Sylvester Bland in the United Saints of America, www.theunitedsaintsofamerica.us, Brian Lang and Live Truth Radio. Check him out. Search him out. Gillis, Spread the Word with co-host Deborah Cochran. Check them out. Good stuff happening there. And I'm sure that Keep His Mind Pool is still floating around. If you find Keep, but tell him Patriot Nation Radio says what's up. And with that, folks, we're going to put the flag in the camera, and we're going to stand up, and we're going to salute the flag as only we do as true red-blooded Americans do. We understand the greatness of the flag and the reason we salute it. God bless those who served, who are serving, and who will serve, those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, those who gave limb and life so that I can live in this great country. God bless you.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. Are you ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the
night, folks. Oh, you know what? I forgot to play a song tonight. Dagnabbit. I'm not going to leave without playing it, folks. I got to do it. This goes out to my friends who make a stand all the time. One last jam before we go. Buffalo Springfield.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Being drawn, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat, a thousand people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop,
Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. Starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away, away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
There you have it, folks. Good night. God bless America. Love you all. Thanks for tuning in.